part three. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense
with John and Scott. All right, AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And I'm Ed.
That's Ed. Episode 59, part 3, the heavy metal episode.
Heavy metal episode.
And we're really rocking out here again with Unbalance or whatever.
I think.
We in the Bob's Band. What an appropriate song, isn't it?
They were prophets, John. Prophets.
The future is a joke.
And that came out 5 years ago, this song, right?
Yeah.
Prophets.
They prophesized. All right, Scott.
A couple of things.
How are we doing, man? Damn.
I don't know. I think we're doing pretty well. How are you?
We haven't practiced in a long time, either.
No, we haven't.
We got to set up all our shit tomorrow.
I have new strings and a new amp, so that'll overcome some of my failings in actually playing the instrument.
So you won't have to listen. It was the best investment ever!
Best $250 ever, John.
No, you didn't hear that, Ed. You weren't here.
I missed it.
You're a little sissy.
Sissy.
Who's girl.
The sissy?
I can hear it now.
I don't have to listen to this. I'm crying. Blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah.
All right, so the last podcast.
Like a little Frenchy.
We talked about the five lamest characters of all time, and then we were going to come up with the top five coolest characters of all time.
Yeah.
And we'll have that for next year.
Right.
John. Right.
Correctamundo.
Also, do we have any plans ironed out with the great Pauly B coming in town?
Well,
with the
I don't
proper
know.
Mrs. Edwards?
I don't know. Kinky Sex Professor Tom wants to set up the Shy PodCon thing on Friday. I haven't heard any more about it, but he has a new podcast he's doing, the Chicago Rocks podcast.
Professor Tom?
Yeah.
What
Haven't
is that?
Chicago
it?
Rocks.
Chicago Rocks. It's where they interview local talent. They play some of their stuff on their show. They
nice.
Go to shows. They review shows. And
so
they
when is he going
to
book us?
Advertise show. He said, anytime. Anytime we're welcome to be on the show.
Nice.
As a Kangaroo Court, as Total Talk Nonsense, I suggested possibly if he took it with his guy and the chick he works with, came to our studio, we could play live and do an interview. And it's like 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So we could play some tunes and stuff and, you know, be on the mics and he interviews us and whatever and drink some brewskis and.
That would be out of sight.
Do and something
like
that.
Give that podcast out again, John?
Chicago Rocks.
Chicago Rocks, and that can be found on Podcast Alley, iTunes, the whole Shamil Shamazel.
Shlamazel, Shlamil, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We could actually put the link on our website. I think we should.
All right, so we'll kind of be low-key with Pauly B and the proper Mrs. Edwards on Thursday?
Yeah, I think Thursday he said he'd want to do a podcast on Thursday.
What time's he coming in?
It's like 10 in the morning.
10 a.m.
Yeah, I'm taking the 2 days off. I'm picking him up. He's driving in from Canada. He's, I believe he's staying with the Word Whore.
He's staying with the Word Whore
yeah.
or Preston?
I thought it was with the chick.
Nice.
And he's coming down from there, and I told him we kind of worked out a deal. He's instead of him renting a car for the next 2-3 days, I'll just pick him up, and, you know, he doesn't need a car. I'll drive him back to the airport on Saturday. See, that's, you know, the difference between, you know, I'm giving up my time to stay with that UK guy, and you gave up your time for Stefan. See?
Right.
So.
That is the difference.
It's a trade-off. Not difference. It's kind of the same, but we're taking turns.
taking turns.
Right.
Right. I guess that's how that works. Guess it'll be my turn next.
Right. After that.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, then. Also, my iPod is back up and running.
Great. I noticed that as you were sitting on my porch and I kept asking you questions and you're going, huh?
What?
Huh? What?
Huh?
What did you say? Huh?
Well, I'm trying to catch up on all my iPod listening.
Well, fucking do it on your own time, man. Don't come
that
to my house.
That was my own time.
No, you said 7:30.
Right.
7:30.
Right. It wasn't 7:30 yet. It was 7:28.
Yeah,
I had 2 minutes left of my own time.
You had no 2 minutes.
Okay, Mr. Hand.
You're on my property.
Mr. Hand.
You don't have your own time on my property, pal.
I thought it was our time.
Man,
dude.
What are you doing? Eating pizza, learning about Cuba.
Yeah, so the iPod was not working for a long time. I took it in because, you know, I have an extended warranty.
Yeah.
But apparently when they give you that extended warranty, you're supposed to rush right home and enter something on the computer, on the internet, which I didn't do.
You fucks up, huh?
Yeah, so the guy was like, hey, I'd like to give you another one, but I can't. Well, why not? I gave you fucking $60 4 months ago. Well, you're not on our system. Well, isn't that transaction that I gave you $60 to extend my warranty on your system? Yeah, but we're not sure it's you because you didn't do what you were supposed to do.
But would you give him cash?
I gave him cash.
Oh, not a credit card.
So, and because we moved, I got to look in 8 different places for this thing, and I could not find it. So what I did is I took my iPod and
whipped it on the ground.
I didn't whip it on the ground. I slammed it on a table. The flat side, I just took it and slammed it really hard, just once, like crack. And it started working again.
Come on!
I swear. If you have an iPod that has trouble, let me. I got the magic touch.
You can fix it. You're like the Fonz,
right? Like the Fonz. Oh, and so I get it working. I download all the podcasts, and we were cleaning one of the rooms.
Yeah.
And I found the extended warranty stuff.
Nice.
So I went and entered it on the internets. So if it does shit out on me again. They'll give me another one.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they won't now because I slammed it on the
table. Do you go to Apt for that?
No, I went to, there's an Apple store in Old Orchard.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Right by the house.
So I'm kind of hoping it'll break again, especially before March.
Yeah, and see if they'll get you a video one.
Well, yeah, because they've discontinued the one I have, so now what? Do I have to pay like... Oh, sure, we'll give you like $100 for that one, but you have to pay an extra $200 to get the video one.
Right.
Are they going to dick me around that way? I heard Microsoft was coming out with a competitor.
Yeah,
that's
true.
What they're going to do is whatever songs you purchase on iTunes,
yeah,
they'll give you for free just to try to win you over to their hardware.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah. But still, you know what? Microsoft... iPod, whatever it is, you cannot record anything you want on there. And then you can't trade what you have on your iPod with anybody else.
Right.
So I don't like their shit.
Yeah.
That's why I like my Arcos. Arcos, you can plug into your TV and record right from the TV or CD or DVD or cassette or the computer. Whatever you want.
That's out of sight, John.
Whatever you want.
I have one more story about Stefan, who came over to see us.
Stefan, right?
Stefan, I'm
sorry.
I think
we established that it's not Stefan. You corrected me, and now you call him Stefan.
So,
although it sounds more proper.
I'm driving him back to the airport.
And he shoots you in the face.
We're at Hooters. No. And he's a little nervous about getting on a plane. More so than a normal person, I guess. A little anxiety about that.
I am too, man. I have huge anxiety about planes. Oh, yeah.
I didn't get that vibe when we went to Amsterdam.
Really?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Did you take a bunch of medicine, or what did you do?
No, probably the fact that you guys were there to distract me didn't. It helps, but... If I go by myself or even with my kids, I'm a little freaked out. Takeoffs and landings. Well, that's 30,000 feet up, no problem.
That's where the problem's going to happen there, Jim. Yeah, takeoffs
right.
and landings.
I know. That's why I'm a little freaked out.
So, well, I'm driving him to the airport, and he's telling me about this anxiety. So what do? Am I compassionate? Do I have any sympathy, any empathy? No.
You Here's big what I baby. Do. Yeah.
I say, well, you know, if I'm going to choose the way I die, it's going to be from 30,000 feet. Screaming down.
No.
I don't want to
die with 250 other assholes.
I never thought about it that way. but here's what I think about. What a rush that would be, right? And you want to experience everything you can in this life. And what a rush that would be, don't you think? And I'm talking to him about the plane taking a nosedive at 30,000 feet, where you'd have like a good couple of minutes to know that you're going to die. And how would that feel? Going 32 feet per second per second.
That's you, though, right there.
So I was not very sensitive to that, and I still feel bad about that. he did finally come around, only because I think he wanted me to shut up.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's really good. I want to do that. Yeah.
I told you the story about we're flying to Arizona. And or home. I can't remember which direction we're going, but we're in the plane. The wife's on the aisle across the aisle from me. I'm on the aisle and on the other side of the aisle. And my daughter's in the middle. My son's at the window. And we hit some major turbulence. And the drinks are like flying off the tray table up in the air. And I'm catching them in midair, you know. And my daughter grabs my arm. Dad, I go, it's okay. It's normal. We're way up here. Everything's fine.
Just look at the flight attendants.
Yeah. They're running for the fucking seats. They're like, they got the drink thing and they're like, they're running it down the aisle, strapping it in.
Nobody was screaming though.
No. Well, no, there was people in the plane. Oh my God. Oh my God. And my wife, I look at her and tears are coming down her cheeks. She's like, oh my God. And I look at my son and he's going, we're going to die. Yeah. True story. Ask my wife. My daughter starts cracking up.
Obviously you didn't.
No.
Right? So how long did the turbulence last?
Like 5 minutes.
My wife was on a flight one time where the plane dropped like...
Yeah, that's what this was doing.
1,000 feet in 2 seconds.
The drinks were flying up in the air. It was like zero gravity for split seconds.
Well, this was a little bit longer because people that didn't have their seatbelts on smacked their head on the ceiling.
Oh, man. So
the plane also, it took like a nosedive. So the drink cart came screaming down the aisle. And she had her foot right outside the aisle, and it slammed her foot in between the chair and then the cart like tumbled over. And she still has some soreness. And this happened, let's see, when we got married, it was about 15 years ago. And she's always thought, well, you know, I should have probably gone after the airlines or something.
Yeah.
But when we looked into it, you really don't have any rights on a plane whatsoever.
Right.
It's like going to a...
you sign them over. A hockey right. game, getting hit in the face by a puck.
Right, or going to an equine facility, John. Do you know what that is?
Horse.
Right, when you go with the horses, you get kicked in the face, it's your fault. There's nothing you could do about it.
Equine.
Right, so anyway, I feel bad about Stefan telling him all that right before he's going to get on a plane to fly, I don't know, 8 hours, six hours to the UK. But he landed okay. Everything's all right, you know, because we've corresponded since then.
Yeah.
But I went out on the internets, John, and I found this article. And this is a list of the... let me see what this is a list of. Many Americans have intense fears of death by certain causes that are actually very unlikely to occur. On the contrary, the most likely causes of death are rarely sources of fear for most of us. What follows is a list of some of those... common yet unfounded causes of death that are most feared yet least likely to occur. Let me just run down this list very quickly, John. Airplane crashes, number one. 30 million Americans describe themselves as anxious flyers, What makes them anxious is the fear of dying in a plane crash. What's the actual risk of being involved in a fatal airline accident? It's one every 19,000 years.
There's a scene in the new Superman.
Yeah.
Where he saves a plane from disaster. It's pretty heavy duty. And at the end, he says the same line that he says in the first one. Technically speaking, airline travel is still the safest way to travel.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys got any fears of death that you want to mention here? Maybe it's on the list?
Suffocation.
Suffocation is not on the list.
Drowning.
Drowning. That would be mine. Not on the list. Not on the list. Anything else?
Wow. That's it. Oh, fire.
Fire. Yeah, that's the very last one.
Yeah.
Let's just go through them. Shark attacks, number two.
Wow.
Being killed by a shark is a common fear, but that's totally unfounded. Your odds of being attacked by a shark are just 1 in 11.5 million.
Well, is that for people that's everybody that swims in the ocean, or
it says everybody. That's everybody.
Okay, no shit.
There are 1,900 confirmed shark attacks that have occurred around the world between 1580, John, and 2003. Well, I guess this is an old article.
You can also spin that statistic. Remember I talked about the terrorist attacks. Michael Moore had one in one of his books that you're more likely to die from a self-inflicted gunshot wound than to die in a terrorist attack on the same year that the terrorists flew into the World Trade Center.
Right. Being attacked by a shark is 1.5 million. Being killed by a shark is 1 in 264 million. The next one on the list, being murdered. According to the World Health Organization, one person is being murdered every 60 seconds worldwide. An estimated 520,000 people were murdered in the world. Although this sounds like a lot, let us put things into perspective. Over 6 million people died of cancer last year.
Wow.
The next one, falling to death. More than 11,600 people aged 65 and older died from fall-related injuries, representing a real concern. Children are also at risk. But the type of fall we're talking about is the kind that occurs from a height and to adults. While falling from a height is a leading cause of work-related death among construction workers, it kills only an estimated 80 people each year. And the risk to the general population who are exposed to heights less often is likely to be lower than that.
Wow.
The next one on the list, you mentioned it before, John. Terrorist attack.
Yeah.
Terrorist attack is fresh in everybody's minds, John. A poll in Condé Nast Traveler found that one-third of respondents feared a terrorist attack. What are your real odds of dying in this way, historically speaking?
Like a Brazilian to one.
It's 1 in 9.3 million chance, which is slightly greater risk than you have of dying in an avalanche. And the next up is something that Special Ed mentioned, fire or natural disaster. Yeah, it falls under natural disaster. Earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, storms, heat, cold, fire. All of these are perceived as a threat looming overhead at any time. Your real lifetime odds of dying from a natural force like those listed above, 1 in 3,357.
Wow.
You're much more likely to be killed by a fire or by committing suicide.
Yeah, than a terrorist attack.
Now, the real causes of death. You know what the number one cause is?
Heart disease.
Well, they put tobacco here first. Tobacco.
Really?
Yeah. 435,000 deaths, 18.1% of total U.S. deaths.
Wow.
Poor diet and physical inactivity, 400,000 deaths, 16.6%. Alcohol consumption. I do that all the time. 85,000 deaths. Microbial agents, John.
Yeah.
75,000 deaths, toxic agents, 55,000 deaths, motor vehicle crashes, 43,000 deaths, incidents involving firearms, 29,000, sexual behaviors, 20,000, and illicit use of drugs, 17,000.
Wow. So you could do all the drugs you want, And you're less, wait, you're more likely or less likely to die in a terrorist attack than if you were to take all the drugs you want.
Right. So we should amp up the war on drugs, John, and downgrade the war on terror.
Yeah, how's that war going?
Which one?
The war on drugs.
We win in that one? I think they're just about done.
Oh, really?
Yeah, all they have to do is come in here.
Didn't they
get the last,
find the last bag of weed?
Right. And we'll be done.
And it's over.
It's over.
You know, they started it in like 1978. And they said, oh, yeah, it's only going to be like a couple of years. Or no, I think they said 12 years and it'll be over. And man, damn it, I wish I had the statistics in front of me.
Well, there you go. How long is the war on terror going to last?
Forever.
Indefinitely, John.
Indefinitely. It's fucking ridiculous.
And is the W going to use that to stay in office? We're in war.
Possibly.
We're in war here, folks.
We can't have an election.
You got anything else, John? Because I got a W story.
Let me see here.
What do you got? What do you
got?
Well,
we were going to have a real military guy here tonight.
We were. Yeah.
But, and I don't blame him. When you get the scent of the bush, and I don't mean the W.
The bush.
When you get the scent of the bush and there comes a call and you go a-running.
They call that the booty call.
Yeah, he got the booty call, so he didn't come. And we totally understand that. I fucking wouldn't want to come on some stupid podcast with a bunch of guys if some broad called me. But I had a story here. I don't know where the fuck it is now. Here it is. This guy's from Akron, Ohio. A local Marine whose service in Iraq earned several medals for serving his country. But he's giving back one of the medals to the White House as a form of protest. Sergeant Matthew B. is a decorated Akron Marine who spent 7 months in Haditha serving with the 3rd Battalion, 25th Marines Weapons Company based in what?
What's his name?
What do you mean, what's his name?
What is his name again?
Sergeant Matthew B.
Is he related to Pauly B.?
No, B-E-E. Oh. Pauly B. has a last name. Edwards. Anyways, B. received 6 medals of commendation, but one of them he will give back to President Bush, calling the medal political. The medal is the War on Terrorism Service Medal, and B. calls it eye candy from Bush. He quotes, so he took something noble and honorable and made it a kind of dirty. And I always thought that medal was the one he pinned on us and said, this is my war. This is my stamp on history, said B. B said he is not anti-war, but rather pro-peace. He plans to travel to Washington, D.C. with a small group of Marines who feel the same way he does. They will all try to return their War on Terrorism medal to Bush personally or to members of Congress. And I heard him give an interview about this, and what he had said about it, he won all these other medals, like he got a, what the hell is that medal?
Purple Heart.
No, not
Congressional
the Purple Heart.
Medal of Honor.
No, he got
Bronze Star.
A Valor. He got Valor. He
got
a Medal of Valor, one of the Valor medals. He got some other medals that they give to him for achievement and stuff like that. And he had said that basically he feels proud to earn those because they were given to him by people within his unit.
Peers.
Colleagues. Gave them to him. Colleagues. He doesn't know who gave him this medal. He doesn't even know this person that gave him the medal, the War on Terrorism medal. And basically he compared it to, I don't know what $1 billion looks like. I know what $20 looks like. And I know what my unit did. I know I'm proud of them. I'm proud of what we did. I'm proud of what we accomplished. I'm proud of the work we did, we tried to do, and all this stuff. This other thing, this war on terrorism, is totally political. And it means that the people who are giving it to me are totally disenfranchised. They're totally out of touch with what's really going on. And he's upset by it. And they asked him, because he's in active duty right now, is he going to get in trouble? Does he violate the military code of uniform code of justice? And he said no, because he's being very diplomatic about how he's approaching this. He's not just going out and saying Bush is a monkey, like we could say.
Chimp. Chimp. I prefer chimp.
Chimp, I'm sorry. Monkey is too kind.
It's too kind.
But anyway, so I thought that was a pretty neat story. You know, the guy's a decorated Marine, a sergeant, and he's going over to the W-Land and dropping off a medal that he doesn't think that it's nothing but a political statement on the part of
the W. The W.
So, there you have
stupid
it.
Stupid ass W.
There you have it.
All right, well, I got a W, the W story, and it's a poopy W story.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We're going to talk about W's feces. So we need to, yeah, we need to play that song.
We're going to talk about duty, feces, poopy. We're going to talk about duty, feces, poopy. We're going to talk about duty, feces, poopy. We're going to talk about duty.
Sure are. And what do you got there, Scotters?
Even Bush's feces and urine are classified top secret, John.
I hear there's rumors on the internet.
According to our Australian, I'm sorry, according to Austrian sources, Austrian newspapers are currently abuzz with special security details of the W's recent trip to Vienna. Although the heavy-handed Gestapo-like security measures meted out to Viennese homeowners, business proprietors and pedestrians by U.S. Secret Service agents and local... This is a long sentence.
Did you say Viennese?
Local police. Viennese, man. Before the during Bush's visit received widespread Austrian media attention. It was White House...
What the fuck is a Viennese?
It's somebody from Vienna. Stupid ass, a Viennese. It is the White House Toilet Security, codenamed Toilasec, which has Austrians talking the most. The White House flew in a special portable toilet to Vienna for Bush's personal use during his visit. The Bush White House is so concerned with Bush's security, the veil of secrecy extends over the president's shit. The special port-a-john captured Bush's feces and urine and flew it the waste material back to the United States in the event some enterprising foreign intelligence agency conducted a sewage pipe operation designed to trap and examine Bush's waste material.
And this is what they said.
That is one big pile of shit.
One can only wonder why the White House is taking such extraordinary security measures for the president's poop.
That is one big pile of shit.
In the past, similar operations were conducted against foreign leaders to determine their medical condition. However, these intelligence operations were directed against dictators in countries where even the medical conditions of the top political leaders were considered state secrets, John. The Israel Mossad. Is that how you say it? Mossad?
Yeah.
Conducted one such operation
against
Syrian President Hafez Assad when he visited Amman.
That's like the Mossad. It's the Mossad. spy group.
It's like the CIA.
Yeah, they're like the best.
Well, these guys are obviously the best because here's what they did. The Mossad and their Jordanian counterpart installed a special toilet in Assad's hotel room that led not to a pipe, but to a specimen canister. Assad suffered from diabetes and cancer, and the operation was designed to cover the actual medical condition of the ailing leader. Wow. How'd you like to be? I'm trying to pick up a chick at a bar. I'm in the Mossad. Yeah, what was your last assignment? Well, I had to dissect Hafez Assad's shit. To find out what medical condition he was suffering from.
A sphincter says
during
what?
Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev's visit to Washington, the CIA reportedly placed a special trap under a sewage tank to collect the Soviet leader's shit for analysis. More recently, the CIA has reported to have collected waste samples from Ugandan president dictator Yoweri Museveni.
And it's always a dictator, huh?
Even Bush's toilet. Paper was flown in from the U.S. Air Base at Ramstein.
His toilet paper.
Oh, we should have some Ramstein to play. Ramstein. Germany. In addition, Bush's food was flown in from the United States and tested with special chemicals before he ate it. Romanian dictator Nicolae Coșcacu, who was shot by a firing squad in 1989, was the last major European leader to constantly use a food tester. The last frequent state visitor to Vienna who always relied on food a food tester was Adolf Hitler, John.
Wow.
So, the United States is making sure that the W's feces and urine is not tested by anybody. And you know why? Because he's probably still on, allegedly, you know, on crack.
Yeah.
Cocaine.
Right.
Crystal. Maybe he's on meth by now. Who knows?
Yeah.
Stupid ass drug addict. Just like that Rush Limbaugh dumbass. Ed, you going to go get that?
What?
All right, I'll get it. Hold on.
Hey, what's up, man? What the fuck? Who's ringing now?
Come on back. Hurry up.
All right.
All right, Phil is joining us.
All right. Hey, Phil, grab your headphones. Get your shit. Let's go.
Get your shit.
Let's go.
Jesus H. Can we mute him until he gets his shit together? Come on, Phil. That's ridiculous. It's goddamn ridiculous. You're supposed to be professional. What the hell was that?
Well, well, gentlemen.
Come on. Is he drunk? What the fuck? Phil, you okay?
Of course I'm okay, John.
Thank you for asking. It's always a pleasure to be here. I'm sorry I missed last show.
You didn't miss anything.
Why not?
We didn't have a show.
Oh, that's good, because I was on vacation with my Vietnamese girlfriend.
Viennese girlfriend?
Viennese? I have a Viennese and a Vietnamese girlfriend, John. And we went on vacation. We went to Tai Bang.
You did, huh?
Yes.
Right.
I don't know if you know this, but I was in Nob.
You were?
Yes, I was
Ding Dong?
I was Agent Orange.
Agent Orange.
And Gang Bang.
And Gang Bang. We got some audio of that. How are you feeling from
that
accident?
It's always a pleasure to see Special Ed, one of my favorite guests on TTN Total Talk Nonsense.
Total Talk Nonsense. Hey, did I talk about Punky? Pod Riot? We played the Pod Riot stinger at the
beginning. I just got here, but you did not talk about that. No.
I'm asking Scott.
I was outside listening.
What do you want, his lap? Come on.
No, I don't think you talked about that, man.
The Pod Riot.
The Pod Riot.
I played the stinger for the Pod Riot. And check it out, podriot.com. That consists of Punky Radio for punk music, Kinky Sex Radio, Spank Your Radio with Professor Tom, Comedy Radio, that's us, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. There's Cyberpunk Radio with www.mental-escher.net, Sci-Fi News with Lynn Griffin, another comedy one, video, it's pretty good, Cult of UHF. Pirate TV, Video Hack, Virtual TV. It's also on www.mental-escher.net. And check it out on the Pod Ride. We also listen to Mediocre Show, Air Out My Shorts, and the Nobodies.
Hey, and don't forget Spike and Rachel. And
Spike and Rachel, right.
When you talk about TTN, you have to talk about the nominated TTN.
That's right. We are the nominated TTN in the Podcast Peer Awards. We're nominated.
Did you know that, Special Ed?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Nominated.
We're in the running for best production with Digital Flotsam and Griddle Cakes Radio.
Dan Emo.
And you know Red Bar Radio? They're also nominated.
For production?
Yeah. They nominated themselves.
That shouldn't count. Come on.
They've been getting like 120 visits to their actual topic in the thread. No comments. They got 14 no votes and 4 yes votes.
Hmm.
So they're not in the running. For adult, Kinky Sex Radio is in the running with Swinger Cast Sex is Fun. Business, Managing the Gray. For comedy, Comedy Forecast, President's Weekly Radio Address. Cult of UHF and the Mediocre Show. Family Friendly, Griddle Cakes Radio, Psychology, Podcast for Good, The Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd. For favorite, Nobody's Coloring Outside the Lines. It's a video podcast. KimiCast, Escape Pod. How to and Education, Podcast 411. Grow, Matt's Today in History. How to with Madeline Merked. That's a video. And 1 minute how to. Music, Punky. Unharshed Mellow. Newbie, shows that are no more than 4 months old at the time of nomination. Bucket is the one. News documentary, current events, Lynn Sci-Fi News video, and Geek Brief. For production, I already mentioned us, Digital Flotsam and Griddle Cakes Radio. Best short podcast, President's Weekly Radio Address, Matt's Today in History. Science, Absolute Science, This Week in Science. Sports, the Fetibidations. Storytelling, Infection, Digital Flotsam, and Digital, Griddle Cakes Radio is the other one. The Zedcast, Seventh Son, King Bonk's Campfire, Ninja Kimberly, The Merciless. And technology is Geek Acres and Geek Brief.
Hey,
everybody.
When did this thing wrap up? When did they announce the winners?
I think it says here, let's see, August 31st, nominations will be, the five top scoring category. I think on October 1st, they announce the winners.
We can do a...
So the 31st, they start ramping it
one
up.
One of our parts we can do, when they announce the winners, we can do... I got an idea for that.
Okay.
Well, I don't want to say.
They finish on the 31st, the voting, but the actual winners, I guess, will be announced October 1st.
Now, why do you think...
we're also nominated for another podcast award.
I think Mike D. From Red Bar Radio is getting the backlash, because he said 14 no votes and 4 yes votes.
Yeah.
You know why, John?
Why is that?
It's because podcasters are jealous of Mike D. That's why.
Yeah, could be.
They're jealous.
I don't think that's it at all.
Of his success.
No, I don't think that's it at all.
I think that's what it is.
I think what it is it's a guy that does a radio show, and he just browbeats everybody that's podcasting, thinking he's better than everybody. But it's totally two different mediums. And they're like, shut the fuck up already. Do your goddamn radio show. Nobody cares. Just do it.
Do it.
Have a good time.
Do it now.
Do it. You're good at it.
I'm not a cop, you idiot.
I am a cop, you idiot.
I am a cop.
I didn't catch that.
Oh, shit.
All right, then. Should we turn it over to Phil?
Hold on a second. God damn it.
I'm not a cop, you idiot.
I am a cop, isn't it? I thought he says, I am a cop, you idiot. Doesn't he say that?
I think so, yeah.
Not I'm not a cop. Right?
I am a cop, you idiot.
Hold on. I have to set up his music.
We can take this out in post, so because I don't want to get, jeopardize your producer of the year nomination.
What do you mean?
No, nothing.
I'm ready, man. I'm ready, brother.
Your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, Charles. And our first story tonight. Let's meet a man who eats more small wieners than Michael Jackson. A 160-pound wonder from Japan set a new record by devouring a sickening 53.34 Frankfurters in 12 minutes to win the annual Independence Day hot dog eating competition on Coney Island. The feat earned Takahiro Kobayashi 27, his sixth straight title in the event, held at the original national famous hot dog stand at Brooklyn Seashore, his prize, the coveted yellow mustard belt. Kobayashi broke his own record of 53.51 hot dogs set at the same competition 2 years ago. In related news, John, Michael Jackson wants to move to Ireland because he wants to meet leprechauns.
Do you suck dicks?
No, really. The eccentric star, who has been residing in Behran since being acquitted of child sex charges last year, reportedly arrived in County Cork. In County Cork last week to search for a new home. Jackson is said to be hopping
him
and his three children.
Hello.
Prince Michael, 9, Paris, 8, and Prince Michael the 2nd, 4, into a Celtic castle in the scenic country. According to a California psychic crying the star, the Billie Jean singer has always been interested in Ireland because he is fascinated by fairies and leprechauns, a type of treasure-hoarding elf associated with Irish mythology, if you didn't know what that was, John. Next story! Just when you thought the Germans could act civilized for one lousy month, there they go, burning piles of the Diary of Anne Frank. The ceremonial burning of the Diary...
Frank.
Of Holocaust victim Anne Frank by far-right extremists in Eastern Germany was condemned by the German government on Friday amid calls to intensify efforts to stamp out neo-Nazi activity.
There we go.
Hey, give Phil a chance, all right? I wonder if he's been practicing his German.
What the fuck you waiting for?
This act was beneath contempt and could scarcely have been more primitive, the German interior minister said in a statement to Reuters.
The minister was reacting to an incident in which three men in the eastern state of the Saxon-Anhalt used a copy of the diary of the Jewish teenager to reenact the Nazis' infamous incarnation of un-German literature in 1933. State prosecutors are investigating the men who also burnt an American flag in front of a crowd estimated to have numbered more than 100 on suspicion of inciting racial hatred.
Is this Phil reading this? I'm getting confused.
Yes, it is, John.
There we go.
According to reports, one of the men cast a diary into the flames and said, I commit Anne Frank to the fire, borrowing words used by the Nazis in 1933. In related news, John, there's a problem in the army recruiting goals. They're not being met. Solution? Recruit neo-Nazis and skinheads. Brilliant. A decade after the Pentagon declared a zero-tolerance policy for racist hate groups, recruiting shortfalls caused by the war in Iraq have allowed large numbers of neo-Nazis and skinheads extremists to infiltrate the military, according to a watchdog organization. The Southern Poverty Law Center, which tracks racist and right-wing militia groups, estimated that the numbers could run into the thousands, citing interviews with Defense Department investigators and reports and postings on racist websites and magazines. We've got Aryan Nations graffiti in Baghdad.
wait a minute.
We've got Aryan Nation graffiti in Baghdad. The group quoted a Defense Department investigation with a report to be posted on its website. Splicenter.org. That's a problem.
What's with the Cockney accent?
Next story, John. Jesse Jackson marching in Texas against higher oil prices. In related news, oil prices nearing records again. Apparently not impressed by the marching. Next story, John. $15 can get you a lot at the University Center. You can shoot pool with a friend, or for 3 hours at the side pocket game room, or you can drop your pants and receive oral sex from a stranger in the bathroom. The black Sharpie written message on the wall of the second and third floor men's bathroom tells the story. The message offer oral sex and anal sex to straight, curious, and married guys, ages 18 to 37 anytime, white or Hispanic only. There is a glory hole drilled in the wall between the two stalls in the first floor men's bathroom of the University Center, and it has been there for a while. Hey, Special Ed, do you know what a glory hole is?
I do not.
A glory hole is a fist-sized hole through which people anonymously perform various sexual acts. I noticed it last September, said a student who asked to remain anonymous. The junior English major said that while he was using a urinal in the first floor men's room, a man in the first stall slipped him a note, asking him if he wanted oral sex. I thought it was a joke until I read the writings on the wall and saw the hole. He decided to look into what was going on. He remembered the man wore New Balance shoes, and the next time he went to the bathroom, he saw the same pair of shoes in the stall. He waited outside in the hall until the person left. During this time, he saw other men go into the bathroom, each staying about 30 minutes. I think those were his customers, he said. Next story, John.
What the fuck you waiting for, bitch? Start sucking.
You had best unfuck yourself, or I will unscrew your head and shit down your neck. You had best...
Oh. What the fuck's happening, man?
Come on, Phil. Calm down.
Hey, I signed it the right button, and it's not working.
That's all right, John. Gay prince comes out of the closet, loses inheritance in process. I'd tell you the rest of the story, but the Nigerian spammers... But Nigerian spammers are going to rush to fill your email box with the further details. Next story, John. A leading Mogadishu sheikh said on Friday that Muslims who do not pray five times a day might have other things to do or are just fine in his book. Nah, just kidding. He wants them to be put to death. A leading Mogadishu sheikh said on Friday Muslims who do not pray five times a day should be put to death. The latest sign of the fast-emerging hardline face to Somalia's new powerful Islamist. The shriek's statement, which he confirmed to Reuters after it was broadcast on the local media, caused consternation among residents and will fuel foreign fears that Islamists are planning a hardline Taliban-style rule. He who does not perform prayer will be considered as in... Hindus who not perform prayer will be considered as infidel, and our Sharia law orders that person to be killed.
He's a said German
Abdallah
Middle
Ali, who runs a Sharia court in the Somalian capital, which the Islamists took last month. Next story, John. Robert Downey Jr. to pen memoirs, evidently repeatedly waking up in... let me start over. Robert Downey Jr. to pen memoirs, evidently repeatedly waking up in a ditch. Fills 200 pages. Next story, John. A teen listening to Metallica on iPod while mowing the lawn during a storm. Teen fades to black when iPod decides to ride the lightning. A 17-year-old Colorado teenager blames his iPod for being struck by lightning while mowing the lawn. Jason Bunch says the current from the strike traveled through his headphone wires on his iPod, burning his ears, cheeks, and side. The Denver Post reports the wounds follow the line of his iPod from his ears down to his right side to his hip, where he was carrying the device. The iPod has a hole in the back, and the earbuds dissolved into green threads. Oh. Little green globules. Bunch with his mother believed the iPod acted as an antenna, drawing the lightning to him. There were tall pine trees nearby that didn't get hit. Weather experts, however, say that it's unlikely. There is no scientific evidence to show that lightning is attracted to items like an iPod. However, if someone wear earbuds and struck, current may travel along the wires into the ears.
Right.
There are documented cases of lightning traveling through wired telephones and killing the users, John. Next story. Dumbass who was photographed peeing on the Canadian War Memorial to be charged with mischief because being a dumbass is not yet an offense under the Canadian Criminal Code. Next story, John. Cameroon parents iron the breasts of their daughters in attempts to prevent rape and sexual harassment.
Wait a minute, what?
What's
breast
again?
Ironing to stunt girls' growth widespread.
Flatten them out? Or
one in four girls in Cameroon suffer this abuse to protect against rape. Worried that their daughters' budding breasts would expose them to risk of sexual harassment and even rape, their mother, Philomene Munagang, started ironing the girls' bosoms with a heated stone.
Oh. There we go. Wind it up.
I did it to my two girls when they were 8 years old.
Wait a minute.
It will take the grinding stone, heat it with a right fire, and press it hard on the breasts.
That's not an African accent.
They cried and said it was painful, but I explained that it was for their own good.
Breast ironing, the use of hard or heated objects or other substances to try to stunt breast growth in girls,
does it work?
Is a traditional practice in West Africa, experts say.
That's the wrong accent.
Next story, John.
Luciano Pavarotti is recovering from a cancer surgery.
Next story, John. If you're riding on the bus and the driver comments that your team lost because their players sucked, note that smashing his head with a beer bottle can result...
The driver...
Whoa. Wow. Can result in the driver losing control and running into another vehicle.
In Berlin, a bus driver crashed into a parked car after being hit in the head with a beer bottle by a passenger who had disputed his views over Germany's defeat by Italy in their World Cup semifinal, police said Wednesday. The passenger driver were alone in the bus traveling through southwest Berlin, not far from the team hotel at 2 a.m., and were discussing the match. Germany had lost 2-0 just a few hours earlier. When the driver commented that the German players weren't good enough, the passenger started insulting him. He then suddenly hit the driver in the head with a beer bottle. The driver temporarily lost control of the bus and rammed a parked Mercedes. Although the bus was only going 30 miles an hour, the passenger opened an emergency exit and fled. Police are searching for the man who is wearing a German team jersey with the number 20, the same as German striker Lukas Podolski. Next story, John.
Can you do the Pavarotti again?
I can save that for later because I threw it on the ground.
Just do the singing part.
Let me do one more story first, John, and I'll get back to Luciano Pavarotti. Next story, John. Scientists makes world's tiniest soccer field. 20,000 of them could fit into the tip of a human hair.
What?
Next, create nanoscale players to ride around on them, clutching their knees. Next story, John.
Tell me when you're ready.
Producer of the year.
Ready.
Luciano Pavarotti is recovering from a cancer surgery. John.
That is fabulous.
Next story, John. Man sues after his son's deranged bride from India is ugly. Citing the potential bride's protruding teeth, bad complexion, and poor English, a family in Massachusetts called off an arranged marriage and filed a lawsuit for damages. The Hindu family residing in Blurchertown, Massachusetts, had agreed to an arrangement proposed by Hindu friends to marry their niece, who lives in India, the Springfield Republican newspaper reported. But the father of the groom-to-be, Vijay B. Pandavi, 60, filed suit after family members saw the selected bride in New Delhi last August. The Pandavis, according to the lawsuit, were extremely shocked to find she was ugly, with protruding bad teeth, and couldn't speak English to hold a conversation. The woman's complexion was also cited. Next story, John. China officially becomes the world's fourth largest economy, behind the United States, Japan, and Walmart. Next story, John. Experts debate whether kids should be called obese. Evidently, little fat fuckers, not an option. Is it okay for doctors and parents to tell children and teens they're fat? This seems to be at the heart of a debate over whether to replace the fuzzy language favored by the U.S. government with the painful truth. If kids are obese or overweight, telling them, labeling a child obese might run the risk of making them angry, making the family angry, but it addresses a serious issue head on, said Dr. Renegald Washington, a Denver pediatrician and co-chair of the American Academy of Pediatrics Obesity Task Force, John. If the same person came into your office and had cancer or was anemic or had an ear infection, would you be having the same conversation? There are a thousand reasons why this obesity epidemic is out of control, and one of them is no one wants to talk about it. Next story, John. British owner turns one of his stallions into a gelding because its name is Ronaldo. It would have given me...
Am I supposed to play something?
It would have given me much more satisfaction if I could have the real Ronaldo's nuts cut off. But this is the best I can do, he says. Next story and last story tonight, John. Drunken wife gets out of drunken husband's vehicle after leaving bar. Husband drives off. Husband returns to find wife in a ditch, missing an arm which nobody can find. A woman's arm was severed in a mysterious accident over the weekend, and authorities have been unable to find the missing limb. Brenda Humphrey of Romulus was listed in serious condition Tuesday at St. Joseph Mercy Hospital in Wasatama County. Hospital spokesman Lauren Stokes said Monroe County Sheriff Dale Malone told the Blade of Toledo, Ohio, that he and other deputies spent hours looking for the woman's arm after the incident was reported at 1 a.m. Sunday with no luck whatsoever. So if you're in Monroe County of Ohio and you see an arm, it belongs to this drunken woman. And that's the newest shot.
All right. All right. Thanks, Phil.
Thank you, John.
And we'll see you later.
And Scott, thank you again.
All right.
I'll be taking off now.
All right. See you.
Good job, Phil.
Thanks for coming. All right. Kiss my ass. Kiss his ass. Kiss your ass.
Eat me. Suck ass.
All right.
He's a funny guy, ain't he?
Yeah, I guess so.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, so the next podcast, John.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to insult special ed, but we may have a really special guest on next podcast.
Yeah?
All the way from the UK.
That's right.
That's right. I mean, special ed, he comes from down the block.
Yeah, he flies in every, you know, once in a while.
But it's always a pleasure to have special ed in, yes, in the studio.
It's always special being here.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Too bad you didn't come in time to read the comments.
I know.
That's right. But you had to wait for your babysitter.
That's right.
The wife.
The wife. The lovely and your lovely were together.
That's right.
The two lovelies.
Oh.
Actually, it was a four.
Oh.
It was a foursome.
It's a foursome of lovelies.
Yes.
What do you think they were doing?
Drinking wine.
Nice.
That is one big pile of shit.
All right, well, that's all the time we have this week. Thanks for listening to AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
No, I'm Scott.
I'm Ed.
And that's Ed. We're out of here.
Later.
You're listening to John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense.